Good morning. We're learning Hilchos Pesach. Today is December 24th, 2012. Yir Aleph Teves Tavshinayin Gimel. We are learning the halachas about a person who finds in Simen Tav Mem Vav Sif Gimel. Simen Tav Mem Vav Sif Gimel. It's on page 42 in the Dirshu edition, on the top. Just to review, we're learning the halachas about what does a person do if he finds chametz on Pesach? Besides screaming and throwing up his hands, halachically, what does he do? Not emotionally, what does he do? So we've been learning until now that a person should, if it's chol hamoed, you take it out and you burn it. If it's Shabbos or Yontif when you find it, you take a kli, make sure nothing's in it, you take a pot or a container and you cover it up. After Yontif, you'd take it out and burn it. I want to share with you from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Rav in Yerushalayim, in the early 1900s, early in part of the 1900s. And he tells us that nowadays, when we sell the chametz, there's a whole question of whether or not, if I sold my chametz to the non-Jew, maybe I'm burning his chametz. Once again, what's the case? I find chametz, and then it's Pesach. So we're learning the halachas, the Mechaber tells us, I have to burn it. But maybe it's not my chametz. How could I burn something that's not mine? Imagine I go to your house and I take the picture and I put it somewhere else. I can't do that. It's not mine.
It's nullified.
Well, when I sell it to someone else, it's not mine. It's his. He owns it. Nullifying it means no one has it. But selling it means it's yours now. If I sell this water to you, it's your water. I can then take this water and pour it down the drain. It's your water. Basically, it's called stealing. All right, that's the good word. If I sell something to you, it's yours, and I destroy it now, I'm damaging your property. I'm stealing it. So that's the issue. That's the question at hand over here. What do we do nowadays? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I'm going to read it inside and then translate. Those who have the Dirshu edition on... You can find it, number 2, on the footnote side of the page. Yaakov, you take a look over here. It's the previous page, I think. So, number 2, he says like this, on the right side, right page. Right there, yeah, number 2. Over his manenu nowadays, shemokri mesachametz hanisha bebayis anachri. It's not in the Mishnah Berurah itself. That we sell the chametz to the non-Jew, and we use a contract, a real legal contract, and he, the non-Jew, acquires the chametz, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that since the chametz, shekevan sheha chametz hanishar bebayis, hu kinyon shel nachri, since the chametz now belongs to the non-Jew, yitochein, it's possible, shim yimoytzei chametz b'moyed, if you find chametz on chol hamoed, it's not appropriate to burn it. It's not appropriate to burn it, because it's not your chametz. How could you burn something that's not yours? What should you do? You should set it aside with all of the other pots and chametzdik items that you're not using and you sold to the non-Jew. Put it in that closet, put it in that room, and because it's going to be his. Once again, I'm not reading from the Mishnah Berurah, I'm reading from the Dirshu edition. Now, there's another opinion, the Shevet Halevi, Rav Shmuel Halevi Vozna Shlita, lives in Bnei Brak. He tells us a different approach. We discussed earlier in regards to when you find chametz on Yontif, you make a mechitza of 10 tfachim high. 10 tfachim is around the height of this table. So you make an enclosed area around that chametz to separate yourself from that chametz. It's not my chametz, so according to the Shevet Halevi, I can't burn it. But what should I do? I should make a mechitza, a surrounding, a separating fence from me and that chametz. Then he has another approach. He says that it could be that even to burn the chametz is also permissible. Why is that? Even though we view the chametz, that when you sell the chametz to someone else, it's a real bona fide contract. It's not any shtick. It really works. Halachically, it works. However, it gets a little tricky now in explaining it, but even though it's a real contract, and when I sell it to the non-Jew, it's his, but he knows he's going to return it afterwards. So since that's the case, he doesn't feel like you're burning his chametz, because he knows that you can get it back. So in essence, you're really burning your own chametz. So he would be meichel. He would say, okay, you find something, you can burn what you want. That's another approach. It's another explanation. Yes, you have a question. Yes. Oh.
So they make it inedible.
Okay, so that's a very good question. Okay, so the good question. We discussed a little of this last week. A very good question. So Yaakov's asking, can I pour something on it that ruins this chametz from being edible, and then it's not a problem because no one would eat it. So the truth is like this. In this regard, if it's not my chametz, it's really the same question. Right, I can't go to your house, open your refrigerator, and pour gasoline on your food that you're going to eat. I mean, I hope not. Are you saying alcohol? Well, what's wrong with you having food with alcohol? You can't.
I guess. It's still. Well, I guess something that would.
You burn it out, maybe. You could burn it out, maybe, the alcohol?
In other words, you freeze it. Let's say you take a piece of chametz, you freeze, put it in the freezer, so it's in a block of ice, it can't be eaten.
I hear what you're saying. If you want to like put into a state of inedibility on Pesach, and then, well, the whole question is, can I do this with something that's not really mine, right? If it's yours because I sold it, so then it's still not mine. So here we're saying that there are those who will say, if you can definitely burn it, then there are those who say you can definitely freeze it. That would be, however, the only concern about the freezing part of it, if it has any, if you can eat it, if it's edible, we don't want to be handling the chametz, because there's a concern, as we've been learning, that a person might come to eat that chametz. But if it's inedible, that might be an easier way of dealing with it. Yes?
A different question.
Yes.
So, with the stuff that you've sold, it's the liquor in my liquor cabinet, or the pots and pans that you use.
Right, the chametz in the pots and pans, right.
What about something, the crumb that you didn't find in the cuff of your pants that fell out, and now it's laying on the floor?
Right, so those little crumbs, we mentioned that it's not a problem.
So those are not issues.
Yeah, not issues, because, first of all, we're saying those words of Kol Chamira, which are saying all those crumbs are like the dust of the earth.
So they are nullified.
Right, they are nullified,
okay,
right.
So that's why it's
yeah, it's nullified. Since
so
it's
what are
a
we talking about?
So we're talking here when you find
like
a
liquor that you
well, no, let's say you find a piece of cake.
Right.
Depending on the size, maybe
you
the size.
In with your matzah is a piece of cake. You bought something and it was yeah,
well,
you made a mistake. The matzah.
It's not good for my heart to hear these things.
you bought something at the store.
Well, let's just say in your house, you found something in your house that is, you know, is like that. Yeah, yeah, you know, and it never got clean. You thought you did it, you checked for it, but somehow, you know, you had your little grandson over and he came in the house and ran around with it, you know.
So you blame your grandson. You blame your wife.
Well, we're being recorded. I don't want to blame my wife, you know. Okay, fine. So now what we're up to here, that was just a previous point I wanted to share with you, because nowadays when we do sell the chametz, it's very important to discuss that topic. We're now back on top of page 42, and the next page, Sif Gimel. Okay, that's part 3. Now listen to this interesting case. Gagoy shel enya Yehudi shehoyu samuch legagoy shel Yisrael. You have your rooftop, which is near the rooftop of a non-Jew. V'nisgagol hachametz migagoy shel enya Yehudi legagoy shel Yisrael. There was chametz on the rooftop of a non-Jew. It was his chametz. And then it rolled onto your rooftop. What do you do about it? What do you do with it? Now, do we say it's not a concern because it's not your chametz, so you don't mind? Or do we say, no, you have to somehow get rid of it? Now, they didn't have slanty rooftops. They used to, it was a flat rooftop. They would use their rooftops. Therefore, a person would go onto his roof on the course of Pesach. It's not like, well, I've never been on my roof. I don't plan to be on my roof. So, but we have to talk about a case where they used to use the rooftops. What does the Mechaber tell us to do? Hareza doichvoy bekone. You take a stick and you knock it off. You take out your golf club and you give it a good zetz. Get it off your rooftop and put it back on his rooftop. Vimhoye b'Shabbos, Now, if that's in the Chol HaMoed, you take a stick and you get it off your rooftop. What happens if you find this chametz that was his chametz that came to your rooftop on Shabbos or Yontif? Koifa olav kli, you take a container once again and you cover it up. The asur l'tatul l'biyontif b'Shabbos, because you cannot move chametz on Shabbos and Yontif. It's muksa. Muksa means, like I've been saying a few times, doesn't mean it makes noise. Muksa doesn't have to make noise. Muksa means it's set aside. I can't use it. There's no purpose of muksa on Shabbos and Yontif. And since I can't burn it now, which we discussed last week, I can't burn it because of Shabbos and Yontif, so I have to cover it with a kli. The purpose of covering it up will prevent me from eating it. I'll remind myself, oh, if I pick it up, wait a minute, it's chametz, I can't eat it. Says the Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Tes. Now we're in the bottom part of the page. That's number corresponds to number 9 in the bottom. Hari Zedoichvoi, a person should hit or kick or push that chametz away. He says, even though the chametz is not yours, and you do not transgress the iser of having chametz in your possession and seeing the chametz, because it's not yours. Nonetheless, you still cannot keep it in your possession. Why? Because we're concerned when you go up to your rooftop, you might come to eat it. You'll use your rooftop, you'll see this chametz, and since the issue is like this, a whole year round, we eat food. That's the way it is. So we'll see food, we might come to eat it also. That's why you have to immediately get it off your property, off your possession. There's a question which is brought down in number 17 of the Dershu. Interesting question. Yes?
I was wondering, how do you know it's your neighbor's?
Well,
why would you push it back there? Because maybe he doesn't want it either.
Okay, well, we're talking about a case where, like, you can assume that it's your...
Right,
we're assuming that it's your non-Jewish neighbors. If you know, and then like, we don't want to say that you're eating his food, but, or a case where if you could also knock into the Rishus HaRabim also. The point is out of your possession. It's not yours, knock it off, right? The question we want to ask now is, what about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, there's a halacha that you're allowed to handle food. You have to feed the children food. You don't have to take, the pot gloves to touch the apple because you're not touching the food and giving them the apple. You're allowed to touch the food. So how come on Yom Kippur, when you can't eat food, you're allowed to touch the food, but over here, when it's chametz, you're not supposed to be touching it? The answer which is given later on in Hilchos Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, the answer is because, one answer, that, like we just mentioned, on Pesach, there's a specific type of food I'm not allowed to eat. It's called chametz. On Yom Kippur, I can't eat any food. So since my mindset is I'm not eating any food at all, there's no concern that I might come to eat the food. But on Pesach, I am eating food, I'm just not eating chametz food. So that's why there's a greater concern in regards to removing that chametz from your possession on Pesach. Another answer which is given is because on Yom Kippur, there's the Emas HaDin, which means the awe of the day. We call it the days of awe. So the days of awe are upon us that a person would be refrain from eating that food. On Pesach, we don't have that at all. It's a simcha, it's a yontif. So we don't have that kind of a mindset to prevent us. Let's see further in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, Yud. Bekaneh, you should use a stick. Veliga boy b'yadayim is aser, and to touch it with your hands is forbidden. Dilma aser l'meichel mineh, because you might come to eat it, as we just mentioned. V'af agav d'chametz shaloi metaltolai v'sor v'b'chol amoyd, even though you're chametz. So now the Mishnah Berurah is asking a question. If you do find chametz on Pesach, we said you take it and you burn it. I am carrying it, I'm touching it, so maybe I'm come to eat it. There's a concern, I might come to eat it. He says it's not a concern. Why not? Because, Hasam Shaini, when I'm going to burn the chametz, the kaven shum is chazara Allah l'sarfoy, l'chashin shem yishkach v'yechlenu. Since I'm en route to go burn the chametz, I'm not concerned I'm going to come to eat it. I'm going to burn it in a few seconds from now. But when the chametz is just in my possession, it's on my rooftop, what's it doing there? Oh, take a look, what's in there? Oh, that looks like a nice Danish. I haven't had a Danish in a few days. You forget yourself, you don't realize it's Pesach now, and then it's not a good story. Okay? Okay. Sif Katan Yiralef. Now, what happens if you find this chametz on Shabbos or Yontif? So then you cannot burn it. You have to cover it up because it's aser to carry it. Aser letaltolai, aser to move it. Hainu afal yidei dechifa bekon, even through pushing it with a stick is aser. The tiltum yitzach may tiltul, because in regards to the laws of muksa, moving something, and this is a whole complicated issue here, which we're not going to get into, but basically moving something with a stick is still called moving it, which we're not allowed to do in this case. The yashenu ad chol hamoed, you should hold on to it until chol hamoed. Obviously, hold on to it, you can't do anything with it. V'achakach yidchefenu legagoy shalakam v'lishus harabim, and then you push it to the rishus harabim, to the public area, or to back where you think it came from, to your non-Jewish neighbor's rooftop. Yes? So we're saying that this is a shinoi. The stick is a shinoi. He's saying it's, in this case, it's best not to. It's best not to. There's all discussion about that with the stick, but that's what we're saying right now. Okay, let's see the mechaber further in Simin and Sif Dalit. The next piece, Sif Dalit, number 4 on top. Motza pas bePesach bBeisoy veEinu Yodea imu chametz oimansa. A person finds, the word is pas. Pas is usually translated as bread. You didn't find bread in your house on Pesach. If you found bread, you know it's chametz stick. We'll see in the Mishnah Brura, the case is that they used to make matzah with some elevation. It was thicker to some degree. They used to know how to do this. Their matzah and chametz look very similar. So you find this pas, generic term for bread, you're not sure, is it matzah or is it chametz? What is it? Do they still make it like that? Yet? I've never seen it. I've always heard about it. I've always heard, well, the mechaber was Svardi. But, So, it's coming from before the mechaber, but that's the case we're talking about. You find this type of pas, you're not sure if it's found in your house, you're not sure if it's chametz or matzah. Mutter afila bachila. You find it, you're allowed to eat it. Why? Why don't we say maybe it's chametz? Oh, okay, fine. So you're mechavin to the Be'er Halacha. Very good. We're going to, I had the same problem when I learned it as well. But first we're going to see the mechaber. Good question. Rabbi Joel is asking a good question. Wait a minute, how can I say Larid? How can Mechaber say Larid? It's a Savik Daraisa. Maybe it's really matzah, it's chametz. If it's chametz, how can I eat it? Very good. We'll have to get to that at the end of the Sif. So, what does the Mechaber say? Why are you allowed to eat it? The Azlin Basar Basro. Basar Basro means they go after the last stage in our time frame. What does that mean? We know we did a Bedika, we checked the house, we got rid of all the chametz. And the last thing we know, there's only matzah in the house. So if you're not sure, you see this item, this breadish food in front of you. Is it chametz or is it matzah? So we're saying, well, it's. He doesn't use the word chazak in Mishnah, but basically he's saying that the chametz I got out of my house. So if I got the chametz out of my house, the last thing that's here, it's the same concept with chazakah, the last thing that's in front of me is the matzah. I mean, it's hard for me to visualize this item, this type of food, but obviously look the same. Furthermore, the Mechaber says, "Bimhum upush harbei she efshar loy lisapish kolkach mishinichnas haPesach." If it is spoiled to such a degree that she efshar loy lisapish kolkach mishinichnas haPesach, it's not possible to have spoiled so much at the beginning of Pesach. Meaning that asvadei hu chametz, it's definitely chametz. Why? Because it's only the beginning of Pesach, or even if it is the latter days of Pesach, it's in the, such a advanced stage of being spoiled, of moldy, of ruined, that it's had to have come from before Pesach. So v'im avru imimei haPesach shenucha litlois shenisapesh shenichas haPesach adato im anu noyegim lepois v'Pesach pas cham v'choyoyim. I'm going to first read it and translate. The Mechaber tells us the last case that if you find chametz, you find this pas in your house, and you're not sure once again, is it chametz or is it matzah? And you see it's moldy also. But in this case, since you bake this matzah on a regular basis, you bake this matzah, and you know how like sometimes you have a fresh challah and you put it into a plastic when it's still hot, you close the bag, you open it for Shabbos, it's a little moldy, it's a little moist now. It's not because you should have let it dry, cool off first. So if a person is doing that with his matzah, it could also get ruined. So even though it got moldy on Pesach, we're going to say if you're making them in the regular process and it's possible you might have made a mistake like this and you're the one who caused it, not necessarily you, but someone on Pesach caused it to become ruined, then we'll say it's matzah and you don't have to dispose of it. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Yud Beis and then Yud Gimel and then we'll discuss the good question that Reb Joel is asking. He says the Mishnah Berurah number 12 on the bottom. The Eini Yodea, you don't know, you find this pas, you don't know if it's matzah or chametz. Din zehu lefi minig zmanom, this din is according to their time period. Show you oifin matzah is ovek tzas, they would bake matzahs with a little thickness to it. V'lohayu chalukin betarom mikikoris shel chametz. And it would look very similar to the chametz. That's the only way to understand it. Basar basra, the Mechaber tells us, we go out, like, basra means like, meseches bava basra, the last gate. Basra means the last. We go after the last stage in the Pesach scenario, which means I already cleaned out all the chametz. The Harei says the Mishnah Berurah, Mishtam shem ke'es rak b'matzah b'chol ha'bayis. We're only using matzah throughout the whole house. No one has chametz around. Avoid furthermore, shari badak es ha'bayis kedin. You check the house, you took out the candle, you turned off the lights, you kept the lights on, whatever you did. You check the whole house, four bedikas for all the chametz, koydim Pesach before Pesach. V'loy nisha mechametz klum. Nothing is remaining from, no chametz around. So definitely it's matzah, because that's the last thing that we have in the house. Rekosu achroinim achroinim, right? Da'afilu matzah, even if a person finds this food item in a little crevice or crack in a hole in his house somewhere, we don't assume that he didn't find it during the bedika process. Because we assume that he did a proper checking for the chametz in all the cracks and crevices. As we learned earlier, how to do proper checking. Only in the case when you could see where that crack or hole is. Let's say you have a little hole in the house somewhere, and you're aware of it. That's when we're saying if you find this pas in that hole, we assume you checked and you saw it there from beforehand, and you know it's and whatever was there you got rid of. So now what you find there is kosher Pesach, it's matzah. However, we're now going to discuss a case where if you didn't see, you didn't know where that hole existed. You didn't know that there was a crack in the house somewhere. Then you never checked. That means you never checked for it beforehand. And then if you found it, this pass in there, we're assuming that now it's going to be chametz stick. The davka kishagum megula, avli matzah pass beguma sheina nearis lakol. If you find this pass in a hole that was not visible to everyone, could go in shematza bechritz b'shuli ateva u'mechusa b'karish shuli ateva. It was covered up somehow. You know, like the children have all these hiding spots. You know, they cover things up, right? Venya near lakol wasn't recognized with everyone. Yesh lachu shem pazu he chametz. There's a concern that maybe this pas was actually chametz. The chayiv levaro miyad, and you have to destroy it right away. Vayim beir halacha mashikasavnu b'shem Rabbeinu Chanan u'beikur dino v'desiv zeh. So in that case, when you did not find it, because the hole was covered up, then you would have to destroy it, assuming that it's chametz. Now we come to the very good question that Reb Joel asked. Wait a minute, not so fast. I have in front of me a possibility that this food is chametz. And we're saying it's a suvik d'oraisa. We know the rule is, when there is a doubt of a d'oraisa, you can't eat the food. It's a d'oraisa, suvik d'oraisa. So, I will share with you, I'm not going to read the words inside, I will share with you what the way Rabbeinu Chananel learns this whole halacha. We've been learning this halacha during Pesach. That you find chametz on Pesach, page 42. You find chametz on Pesach, what do you do with it? So on and so forth. Now the Rabbi Chanan learns this whole discussion is going after Pesach. In other words, if you find the chametz after Pesach, then what do you do with it? Do you have to burn it, not burn it? Is it called chametz shovel of a Pesach? Rabbi Chanan says, if you find this chametz on Pesach, you cannot eat it. Says Rabbi Chanan, if you find this on Pesach, it's a suffik deraisa. You cannot eat it. Just the way, just like Rabbi Joel was saying, how could you do that? So Rabbi Chanan learns this whole entire discussion as a different time frame. He's learning it on Pesach, he's learning that this whole discussion was you found it after Pesach. Because if you did find it on Pesach, he would say, you cannot eat it. We'll stop here for today.